You know, we got back from America visiting my daughter and son-in-law over there only last week, and my goodness, four layers of clothing and you're still cold up there in Portland. Evan was like, all right, all stand there. We'd go up to these beautiful high mountaintops and the views were second to none, absolutely extraordinary. And Evan would say, this is my son-in-law, all right, all stand there and I'll get a family shot. And I'd stand there and I'd smile and I'd go, Evan, my teeth are cold. It's like, my eyes are cold. So it's the only place that wasn't covered up. So anyway, yeah, it was cold, but it was a beautiful, powerful time with family. And we had an extraordinary time. So, but you know what? We must not take it for granted where we live. What a country we live in. You know, we couldn't even go, well, you could go for a walk to get fresh air, but there was no sun, so the vitamin D is very low, and the other thing is it's just so cold, you can't wait to get back inside. So, you know, we can go for a walk and get fresh air and sunshine, and you don't have to be afraid that someone's going to attack you either. So it's amazing where we live. We must be grateful. I've been going for walks this week just around the block and just pouring out thanks to the Lord. Because we are so blessed here, hey? We are so blessed. Well, praise the Lord. I got myself a new Bible. 36th anniversary present from my husband. Went to Coorong yesterday and I wanted a new Bible. And anyway, I said to the guy there, I'd like a New Living large print. Indexed and soft cover, please. And he says, oh, we've got heaps of those versions actually in at the moment, so come over here and I'll show you. And the first one he opened up was this one, and I said, wow, it's my favorite color, I love it, I'm looking at it going, I love it. And he goes, what, that never happens, first one and you got it. And we're jumping up and down in Coorong. It's like the things you get excited about. Hallelujah. Anyway, who was here last week for Vision Sunday? Okay, so Pastor Craig introduced a new layer of our word disciple. The vision to us, our inheritance. So our calling, he emphasized our calling to live as apprentices to Jesus, allowing the Lord to personally restore and resettle our lives into God's inheritance. And his message also challenged us to lead others closer to this reality. Be one with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do as he did. Amen?
Yep.
That's our life pursuit. We've been introduced to the triangle with the four C's. Very creative, as our Pastor Craig. There's the slide there. Okay, so communion, community, commission, and contribute. And so far we've had you've had messages on these different areas. I actually love this because it's all in aid that we would become more mature, effective disciples.
Yep.
Amen? And you know what, I read this quote by Henry Nguyen. He's a spiritual writer and he sums up Jesus' life with this. Jesus' life moved along a continuum from solitude to community to ministry. Really simple, huh? So let's keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus showed us the way. He is our example. He gave us instruction on the why and how to fulfill this purpose whilst here as his followers. When we read through the Bible and see how Jesus walked the earth, we clearly see that reconciliation and relationship with people are at the core of his heart. See, what I'm astounded at is that he loves us so much that he wouldn't leave us the same. And he has given us an extraordinary purpose and mission to partner with him in reaching the world, in reaching people. Gateway, we have a mission and a mandate to fulfill together. And I love that we are called to do this together, not as lone rangers. You know, when we get this, there's going to be something powerful happens in our city, in our town, in our nation, in our world. You see, in the Bible, the Great Commandment was given before the Great Commission. And if we adhere to the Great Commandment to love one another as he has loved us, we will find it a whole lot easier to fulfill the Great Commission, yeah? I get excited when I think of how much we can accomplish together. It's time that we got about his business, church. It's time that we kept the main thing, the main thing. You know, Jesus paid a high price for humanity. You and I can get so excited and be so grateful for what he's already done in us and what he wants to do through us. There is so much to be grateful for. Are you excited? Do you dream big? Do you get excited when you think of the things that you can accomplish with Jesus? I was mortified but not surprised when I read these statistics that around 63% of Americans self-identify as Christians, but surveys portray that only 4% identify as followers of Jesus. If you were here last week, you were presented with this to ponder. If we are all followers or disciples of something, we must ask ourselves, who or what am I a disciple of? Who found that a challenging question? Who found that a challenging question? Pastor John Mark Comer states, the greatest issue facing the world today is not climate change, surveillance capitalism, human rights, or the spectre of nuclear war, as utterly crucial as all these are. But can you imagine how many of those problems would effectively be solved overnight if the billions of living humans who identify as Christians all became apprentices of Jesus? If their driving aim was to approach every challenge as Jesus did. Do you agree with me that we need to keep the main thing the main thing? Do you agree with me that one by one and together we can accomplish much as the body of Christ, as disciples, followers, apprentices of Jesus? It's time to get serious about this. You know, we come here every Sunday and we get fed. We get fed the Word of God, we worship God together, and it's a great space for us, is it not? We have community get-togethers through the week where we can encourage and grow together, yes. But why do we do that? We do that so that we can grow and go. Yeah. It's time to grow and go.
Yes.
What's holding you back? I believe the Holy Spirit's been highlighting a message on my heart for you, for us this morning, around the Great Commission. I believe for us to be effective, we need to deal with our heart first. I find it extremely interesting that the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 4:20? Start here. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Who knows that the Bible is full of keys for us to live this life that Jesus calls us to? Who knows that the Bible is full of keys on how to guard and protect our heart? For the heart is a root of our whole being. It's the seat, if you like, of our whole being. People, we need our hearts soft and pure and tender. So I invite you on this journey with me. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are here with us now. I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now. And I thank you for this word that you have for us today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this house to speak truth and life, to do a work on us today that only you can do. Lord, we give you all glory today. May heaven invade earth today. May your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like you to ask yourself these three questions, and then we're going to read some scriptures. God, who is on your heart? God, what is on your heart? And God, how can I serve? I'm going to turn to Matthew 28, known as the Great Commission. We're going to start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. You know that word go? It's not a passive word. In the Greek, it is actually an aorical participle. And so it means that you can't make disciples without going. So you've actually got to be intentional. That word is actually a charge from Jesus himself to you and I. He's commissioned us, he's anointed us, and he's given us all authority to go and make disciples. I heard a story only this week. Steve, where are you? He comes to our group and he was sharing about a month or so ago that his brother had gone into hospital and he said, I've got to go and visit him and I'm not sure that, you know, where he is with the Lord. And so I'm going down to visit him. Would you pray? We all prayed. And then when I got back from America, he said, I've got some good news. And he said, you know, I went and visited him. He's out of hospital now and he's home and he's well and he's found himself a church and he's going to church. And I'm ringing him every week and we're talking and I'm able to talk to him about spiritual things, about things. Make disciples. It doesn't mean going out and standing on the corner and preaching the gospel, whilst that can be very powerful and effective. It's in our everyday. Amen? We need to be intentional when we go out. These three questions are powerful questions because when we read them, We see in the, well, sorry, when we read in the Great Commission, we see that God's heart is for people. He's for people, and he's for you, and he's for me. Hallelujah. He loves and values people so much. So those three questions are answered in that one piece of scripture alone, yet alone all the others throughout the Word of God, right? I see that as we read the Bible, we see one thing that all of heaven celebrates. In Luke 15:7, we see that when one sinner repents and turns to God, all of heaven rejoices. We celebrate many things. We celebrate when miracles happen. We celebrate when the gifts are exercised. And that is the grace of God on display. Amen. And it's worth celebrating. But there is one thing that all of heaven and all the angels celebrate. And it is one when one sinner gets saved. Right. Hallelujah. I want you now to turn to Philippians 2, 1:11. I just want to read a couple of scriptures for us. Who knows the word of God, the scripture ministers in and of itself? Yeah. Who knows that it's powerful? Yeah. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to to Ephesians 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Gateway, you are his dear children. Yep. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, pleasing aroma of God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once we were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no place in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, instead expose them. It is shameful to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." I've been thinking about these scriptures, and I've been thinking about the Great Commission. I've been thinking about how we need to get our heart right. Keep our hearts soft and tender and pure before the Lord. Our heart, if our heart is not right, it will be a stumbling block. There are so many people here who want breakthrough. There are people here who are stuck and saying, "Why can't I get my breakthrough?" Jesus wants the body, his body healthy. He wants his body healthy. You see, at the very roots of Christianity is a mission movement. And we are the mission movement. Revival starts with us. Revival starts in our heart. The missions movement starts by us responding to what he's already done. What he's done on the cross. Hallelujah. When he hung on that bloody cross and looked into the future, he saw you and I and was moved by love and compassion. Yeah. Our hearts have to be soft, people, or we will find it extremely hard to be moved by what he is moved by. You know, I've been asking the Lord to soften my heart. Every single morning I pray and I say, "Lord, do in me what only you can do. Remove if there's anything that needs to be removed. I want to see people as you see them. I want to feel as you feel. I want to be moved as you are moved." A bold but scary prayer, but a necessary prayer. And only this week I was here at the community table, and I sat down at a table with someone, and I looked into their eyes as they started to tell me their story. And my eyes welled up with tears for this person. Compassion overwhelmed me for this person. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, and he said, "Tell them I love them, but they need to forgive." So gently I spoke to this person and I presented that to them. And they started to forgive. And they started to cry. And the whole atmosphere for that person changed. Something lifted. They said something lifted and shifted as they started to forgive. And so each week I'm building a rapport with different people at the community table. And there's another lady who I was sitting with, and she said, "Oh, so you're a pastor here?" I said, "Yeah. How long have you been?" "Oh, a few years." And she was questioning. And we went from surface. The first time I'd met this lady, we'd gone from surface to spiritual real quick. The Holy Spirit was on it. And when we're sensitive and our heart is in line with him, we can take every opportunity for him, giving him all glory. And so I started to talk to her, and she was opening up to me. And she said, "Thank you." She was grateful. She'd had an awful experience with religion in her past, but she saw something different. And she felt something different. And when I see her again, let's believe together she'll open her heart to receive Jesus. Amen. Who knows forgiveness is huge? Who knows it's a big deal? And it's not always easy when someone has wronged us. It's not saying that it's okay. But forgiveness is powerful. The Bible talks a lot about it. In fact, Jesus commands us to do it. Why? Because he knows it's good for us. The Holy Spirit's talking to me about forgiveness, that there is breakthrough for my people if they will forgive. There are people that some people here today that need to forgive. There are some people here today that have already forgiven, but the Bible says 7 times 70. Personal experience has taught me that to forgive in and of itself is powerful. But when you continually forgive, particularly someone that has really, really hurt you deeply. But then again, it might be something very light and very, just a little offense. People will offend us. It's inevitable. Be ready to forgive people. Be ready to forgive. And I want to give you an opportunity today to forgive. We don't have a lot of time left. But I tell you what, I want to give you an opportunity to respond, and I want you to be bold and stand up and you forgive if you need to forgive. I want to say that we cannot as a people continue to partner with sin. Let's just turn to John 20, 21 to 23. As Jesus spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." You see, the commission comes with a mandate. Go with forgiveness. It is stated here in this verse as a mandate and a mission. We are not only sent with the substance of the message, salvation, we are sent to bring the spirit of its truth, forgiveness. Only the breath of his spirit, which Jesus breathed upon those who first heard these words, can enable us to go obediently and reach lovingly. The message salvation and its meaning forgiveness are ours to deliver. And we need to receive the Holy Spirit to do both. Amen? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Would you put your hand up if you've received the Holy Spirit? So you can do it. How good is that? Well, this simple message I have for you today is that God has a heart for you, but he also has a heart for the world. And something happens when we guard our heart from offense, unforgiveness, and sin, and keep our hearts tender toward him. It's not about having all the right things to say. It's about staying yielded and soft, so that Christ may move through us. Amen. We're on assignment together. And we are destined to be a part of revival. Amen. If you would start to give out the emblems, please. We're going to take communion this morning, and in response to this message, we are going to take communion together. Don't spill on my new Bible, will you, Dave?
She might have to forgive you. Hallelujah.
So I want you to put your focus on the empty cross and the resurrected Christ, who offers forgiveness and empowers us through his Spirit to grow and go. That we would fulfill the great commandment and the great commission, make a difference in this world. Gateway, I've been praying for you and I'm jealous for your breakthrough. I'm jealous for your breakthrough. Gateway, I want to see us as a church who is on fire for Christ and nothing holding us back. Today is the day. Today is the day to get rid of things that have been in our heart, hindering us and stopping us from being who God has called us and intends us to be. See, today is the day to break up with fear. Is there anyone that needs to break up with fear? Today is the day to break up with the liar. You can play. Today is the day, if you would be so bold, if you would be so courageous to repent. Repent isn't just confessing sin. There are some people you know that the Holy Spirit is touching your heart right now. And there's something he's been touching for a while. He's saying, you've got to let that go. You've got to let that go, my darling. My son, my daughter, you've got to let that go. Repentance is actually turning from that, being obedient to Jesus. It's a change of mind, change of heart. It's not just confessing your sin and saying, I'm sorry. Whilst that is a part of it. There are some people here today who need to forgive. And as I've been preaching this message, the Holy Spirit's touching there. And he's saying, I want you to forgive again. There's no shame here. Even if you're a leader, there's no shame at all. There's some people here today who are just simply saying, you know what, I just want my heart right, Lord. I want it even softer. I want it softer, Lord. Would you give me a heart? Would you just help me where it's gotten hard? Would you soften my heart, Lord? As you look at the empty cross to the resurrected Christ and how much he's forgiven you. Would you stand with me today? Would you stand with me if you'd like to partner with me in making sure our heart is soft, our heart is pure? Would you take these emblems together with me? Just close your eyes. If you want to pray this prayer with me, you can just under your breath say this. We stand before God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the cross. Thank you for making a way for me. And today, Jesus, I choose to forgive. And you can name that person or people that you need to forgive. I release the chains of unforgiveness and torment. I release that person and I release blessing on them. Jesus, I repent for partnering with sin. Forgive me, I ask. Today I choose to obey you and surrender afresh to you and you only. Today I break up with fear. Today I break up with the liar. Today I break up with intimidation. Help me, Holy Spirit. Guard my heart with all diligence. I want your heart, God. Keep me soft. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just take your emblems. It's between you and God. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let this peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, and always be thankful. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you today. And I'll just invite Craig to finish the service and...
Come on, let's sing this old "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Clean. You are whole. Your heart is free. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things that I have commanded you to do. For I am always with you, says the Lord, even now to the end of the age. And everyone said, amen. Thanks, Pastor Kylie. That was a beautiful word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you would like prayer for anything at the end of the service, we'll have our ministry team. We also have our new visitors lunch straight after the service. If you're here and you would like to attend, we've got plenty of food. You're most welcome to just join us. But have a great week. And we'll see you next week for a great panel with the Cubis and Johnson family. It's going to be an outstanding time. Where's Donna and Sophie? Don't run away from them. They're at the front door. Register, register, register. It's going to be a great time next Saturday night. Can't wait to see you. Whoever's coming to my house. Amen. God bless you.